All right, everybody, thank you for joining us tonight, all the visitors and our weekly people. And I'd love to introduce this kind gentleman who agreed to share his wonderful experience, strength, and story with us. Thank you, Ron. Thank you. Happy to hear your story.
Thank you very much for asking me. My name is Ron. I'm a compulsive overeater, recovering know-it-all. I have been in program for 41 years, and I have 39 continuous years of abstinence. July 8, I will have 40 years of abstinence. The only way that happened was a day at a time. My top weight was 198 pounds. And when I came into program, I have a disease of Mohr, and I followed the gray sheet, and I went down to 125 pounds, and I'm 5'8", so I guess I became anorexic. I was born and raised in a lower middle class Jewish family. We could not afford May Company or Broadway. We had to go to Sears. And embarrassingly, I had to go to a department that was called Huskies, which was very demoralizing. I came from a dysfunctional family. I did not know what to do with all the craziness that was going on, but I discovered that by eating, and especially eating sugary foods or salty foods, that it made me feel better for a period of time. And I started gaining weight, and my parents, all they had to do was say, I will buy you. And I lost the weight. I'm a great dieter. I just don't keep it off. So I went into college, and in college, I could eat as much as I want, anytime I wanted. Nobody was watching me. And I gained and I lost and I gained and I lost. I went on every diet they had at that time. They had HCG, which was serum taken from pregnant women. The doctor gave me a shot 6 days a week, and I was living on 600 calories or something like that. It never dawned on me that if I lived on 600 calories without the shots, I would have lost anyway. I went to Weight Watchers. I was on protein. I was on speed. All kinds of things. And I lost weight on all of them, but I gained it all back. And in 1979, I was going back up again. And this time I literally could not stop eating. When I started eating, it was on. And I didn't know what to do. And I called a relative of mine and I said, I can't stop eating. I don't know what to do. She said, why don't you go to OA? I didn't know what OA was. I was involved with the Boy Scouts, and OA was Order of the Arrow. I couldn't figure out how I was going to lose weight in Order of the Arrow. And she said, no, it's Overeaters Anonymous. I'd never heard of it. I heard of AA, but not Overeaters Anonymous. And I went to the Reseda Darby office at a 10 o'clock meeting. And people welcomed me. They made me feel very welcome. And I kept hearing something about getting a food sponsor. We had gray sheet, we had blue sheet, and we had orange sheet. And these were all diets. We don't have diets anymore, but we did then. And I was looking for the diet. I was looking for the magic bullet. So I went up to this woman, I don't know who she was, and I said, would you be my food sponsor? She said, fine, call me every morning. We didn't have cell phones or computers. Call me every morning and tell me what you're gonna eat. It never dawned on me to not eat what I phoned in, because I'm a great dieter. And so I did that for a long time. We played a game, which I learned later was cheap group therapy. I never heard anything about the big book. I never heard anything about the steps. I never heard anything about recovery. I did hear about everybody's problems. And then we all played, including myself, can you top this? You think you got a problem? Let me tell you about my family, or let me tell you about my, you know, whatever. And I did that for a long time, kept my weight off. And a woman came up to me and said, in the big book, which I'd never heard of before, on page 133, it says that God wants us to be happy, joyous, and free, and you don't look happy, joyous, and free. And I said, no, I'm not. I'm thin. I'm below thin, but I'm not happy, joyous, and free. I'm just dieting. And she said, you need to go to AA. And I said, well, I don't understand. I don't drink unless there's an umbrella in it, because I want the sugar. I don't want the effect. And she said, well, go anyway. So I went to a 12 o'clock AA meeting, and I heard people talk for an hour and a half about something they were not going to do for an hour and a half. We never said that in my OA meetings. I never heard anybody say they were grateful for their abstinence. We only talked about our problems. It was cheap group therapy, and it was exactly what I needed, and it was wonderful. Well, all of a sudden, I go to this AA meeting, and this woman comes up to me, the same woman, and she said, what did you think of the meeting? And I said, well, they talk about something they're not going to do for an hour and a half. We don't do that in OA. God shot number one. She said, why don't you listen to the similarities instead of the dissimilarities? I didn't even know I was doing that. Came back the next day, and I heard someone say, I can act my way into good thinking, but not think my way into good actions. And I became a psychotherapist because I believed that if I could analyze my life well enough, I could change it. And all I got out of analysis was a well-defined problem. So she said to me, you know, in the big book, it says God wants us to be happy, joyous, and free, which is defined as happy is the absence of fear, joyous is living in gratitude, and free is free of the obsession. I'd never heard any of this. And she looked at me and said, you need a fourth step sponsor. She didn't say you need a step sponsor. She said, you need a fourth step sponsor. And I arrogantly said, there is no one in OA that has what I want. Didn't bother her. God shot number two. She said, who frightens you the most in this room? Now I'm in an AA room. And I said, that bully over there, Captain Serenity. She said, I think he's a teddy bear. Go call him. And I said, you must have a death wish. This guy is a street thug. She says, no, I don't. I think that's an act. So I called him on the phone. I said, Captain, I'd like to ask you if you would sponsor me. He said, are you an alcoholic? He's very loving. And I went, no. He said, what are you? I said, I'm a compulsive overeater. He said, oh, I don't sponsor compulsive overeaters. They're sick. And I said, Tom, I'll do whatever you tell me to do. I didn't realize that I had the gift of desperation. And unfortunately, I don't know how to give it to anybody, but I had it. And Tom said to me, call me for 30 days. And if you miss a day, I'll kill you. God knew I needed a kind of sponsor at that time. So I called him every day at 5 o'clock, and he had me read a half a page a day from the big book. He also told me, take the big book with you to every meeting And when you hear one good idea, write it down in your book. And then forget about everything else. And I said, but for what reason? And he said, because if you're compulsive like me, you'll hear one good idea and you'll go, oh my gosh, I love that. You'll hear another good idea and you'll go, oh my gosh, I love that. And he said, recovery does not come from what we study or learn. It's what we practice. We need to keep it simple. So if you hear one good idea, write it in your book and start practicing that. He taught me that on page 45 in the big book, it says that the main purpose of this book is to help us to find a power greater than ourselves that can solve our problem. And I thought compulsive overeating was my problem. And he pointed out to me that it was my solution to my problem. My problem is on page 23. It says that our disease, and I believe compulsive overeating is a disease, our disease centers mainly in our mind than in our body. And that's very, very true for me. And so what the steps do over a period of time is helps me find a power greater than myself that I can turn my life and my will over to God's care and to rely on that power imperfectly. I don't do anything perfect. There's a guy named Chuck C. in AA, and he wrote a book called New Pair of Glasses, I think it's called. And he said every alcoholic that he ever worked with had two main issues. They were perfectionists and they were oversensitive. And boy, that describes me to a T. You look at me the wrong way and I'm hurt and upset. So I started working with this man. He asked me to do something for someone else and not get found out. And my head said that it had to be on the level where it could be put on the 11 o'clock news, or it didn't count. And the only thing I could find was they had real mugs in the AA club. And I found a mug, I washed it, and I put it away anonymously. I called him, and Tom said to me, what did you do for someone to not get found out? I was so embarrassed. And I said, I found a mug, I washed it, and I put it away. He said, good, do something differently tomorrow. I said, Tom, excuse me, you don't understand the rules. The rule is I tell you and you shame me and you put me down and you tell me I did it wrong. And he said, you know, Ron, you give me the baseball bat and the whips. And when I think you deserve it, you and I can talk about it. You would never allow anybody to treat you as badly as you treat yourself. He was absolutely right. I remember one day I was going to visit my family, and that was more difficult for me working program. He said on page 128, it says, we go with the attitude of what we can bring instead of what we can get. I never knew that. I always went to family functions because I wanted them to make a big deal over me. And so I said, well, how do I do that? He said, well, when you're with the family, ask your brother, how is he doing? What's going on? Never thought of doing that. And I learned in program that I don't give my advice. I don't give my experience, strength, and hope unless there is a question mark at the end of a sentence. And with my family and with people that call me on the phone in outreach, most of the time, there is no question mark and I get to listen. So I asked my brother how he was doing and he gave me an earful. It was wonderful. And then he said to me, let me tell you about your sisters. And I just sat there and I listened. And then I spoke to my sister and she said, well, let me tell you about your brother. And I said, please tell me. And I never got involved. I just listened And came back, my sponsor asked me how that went. And I went, boy, that was very different. The food didn't even call me because I was so involved in asking my brother and sisters how they were doing. He said, very good. In the meantime, I was sponsoring a woman who went in for surgery for her back, and the back surgery was successful. And I got a phone call, and someone told me that my sponsee checked herself out of the hospital, went home, and committed suicide. And I didn't know what to do with it. I was absolutely devastated. On Friday, I went to the funeral. I was just in shock. I went to a OA meeting, and I went up to a guy who I know, and I told him what happened. He said, did you talk to your sponsor about it? And I said, I can't. I can only call him at 5 in the afternoon. And this was like 9. He said, go home right now and call him. So I called him on the phone, and Tom said to me, what's up? And I told him what happened, that somebody I was sponsoring went in for surgery. It was successful. She checked herself out, went home, committed suicide, and her 2 elementary school children found her dead. And all he did, this tough guy who kept, you know, saying, do this, do this, he just got very quiet and he said, that had to hurt. And I just broke down and I cried. And when I calmed down, he said, you know, Ron, you need to understand that compulsive overeating is not a cutesy diet. It kills people. And you need to tell this story so maybe someone will realize that this program kills people if we don't arrest it a day at a time. My relationship changed with this man. He taught me as we started going through the steps about forgiveness. And I said to him, I don't know about you, but my belief is that if I forgive somebody, they win. And why would I want to let somebody win who hurt me? He said, well, let's look at it at a different way. When you hold a resentment and anger towards somebody, they own you. Because are you thinking about what you can do for someone else in a loving way? No, you're thinking about this person who hurt you. He said, one of the only ways that he has found of cutting the umbilical cord from that person controlling my mind and my feelings is by forgiving. And it wasn't easy. On page 552 in the big book, it talks about how to relieve resentments. But the big book sometimes needs an explanation. And somebody in program, because on 552, it says, if you want to get rid of a resentment, pray for the person for 2 weeks, everything you want for yourself. And this really nice guy in program said, well, I found it to be a 4-step process. The first thing we need to do is say to God, I want you to punish this person who hurt me. And make them bleed, make them be as powerless, you know, as pained as I am. And he said, do that every day until you get tired of it. And he said, after that, you say, dear God, help me to forgive this person because this person is sick. And the third thing is to pray that this person gets everything you want good for yourself. And the fourth process is asking God to forgive me and for me to forgive me and for me to also forgive the other person. And that has worked incredibly beautiful. When I just go to asking that God give everything beautiful without accepting that I'm really angry at this person, for me, it doesn't work. One of the beauties of this program is step 6 and 7. I never knew what to do with feelings. Feelings used to overpower me. I didn't know what to do, and so I ate to push my feelings down. And my sponsor pointed out to me, when you do a 4th step and a 5th step, we immediately move to step 6. And what we do is we ask God to help us accept how we feel about this person, whether we like it or not. And once I can accept that, then in step 7, I can ask God to remove it. And I get very quiet. And for me, I feel a little lifting in my body. It's not something I can describe. And then I know that God has removed it. I have used this over and over and over again, and it has worked incredibly well. When God doesn't remove something, I have discovered that I need to write more, because that might not be the underlying cause of what's going on. It has been so freeing. The idea that the promises on page 83 have come true for me on every level. I live in gratitude much of the time. Food does not call me. I don't compulsively overeat. Food comes up periodically when I haven't dealt with something. And I get to sit down and do a 10-step on it. I do a daily 10-step. And I ask God to help me to know what is really going on. And interestingly, it normally is something that is so small and something I would label as petty, or a feeling that is insignificant. When I don't pay attention to that, food starts screaming to me. And when I recognize that and I start doing a 10-step and I start writing, and I said, God, help me to be rigorously honest with myself. I don't have to be honest with anybody else. The big book says I need to be honest with me, my higher power, and one other person who I call a sponsor. I write a 10-step every day. I send it to my sponsor. I have a sponsor who doesn't try to fix me. I don't need fixing. What I do as a sponsor is I try to help people go through the 12 steps to find their own way, to find their own higher power. I also try to help to have them look at a situation differently if I'm able to. And it is such a privilege that I get to sponsor people. All of the sponsees know that for 30 some odd years, God said to me, you are not going to sponsor anybody. And I couldn't figure out why. And I would say to other people, I don't understand. Nobody asked me to sponsor them. At 36 years of abstinence, God said to me, it's time that you write about this and find out what's really going on. And when I looked at the early sponsorship that I did, I realized I was trying to fix people. I was trying to take their feelings away because I didn't like feelings and I didn't like people being in pain. And God said to me, that's not your job. That isn't your job. Your job is to help people work the 12 steps to find their own higher power and to find their own answers. And all of a sudden, when I became aware of that and I asked God to help me accept it, somebody called me on the phone and said, I'd like to ask if you'd be my sponsor. And I knew that maybe this was God saying, you've learned your lesson. It is time that you can sponsor people. And I feel so privileged. It is absolutely a gift to me. Also, working step 12, I started writing out some of the lessons that I learned in program that I put in my big book. And I send them out daily. And some people have said they've been exceedingly helpful to them. And they share it with other people, which I'm very grateful for. This program is a miracle. It is absolutely a miracle. I go camping every summer, of course, not last year, but I go camping. And every year I used to go and look at the dead trees. And I would, you know, think to myself, where's the beauty of the forest? All this ground is brown. That some of the trees are dead, the thing. And all of a sudden, a number of years ago, God said to me, why don't you focus on something different? On page 100 and, oh no, on page 419, I believe, Dr. Paul said, when I focus on what's good, I have a good day. And when I focus on what's bad, I have a bad day. If I focus on a problem, I have more of a problem. And if I focus on a solution, I get more of a solution. And I took that to heart and I thought, I'm not going to focus on the dead trees and the brown ground. I'm going to look at the green trees. And all of a sudden, I started seeing blue sky, some gorgeous clouds. And all of a sudden, my belief system changed. And I started looking at the beauty of the forest. That to me is a miracle. One of the things that I learned in program is when it comes to working on things, I don't work on anything. All I do is in 6 and 7, I ask God to help me accept whatever the character defect is. And then in 7, I ask God to remove it. I don't do anything. The only thing I do, which I suggest to people I sponsor, is when they have their character defects, it might be a good idea to write down on a piece of paper what the opposite is and to practice that. And over the years, my character defects are less. They have not been removed, but at least when they rear their ugly head, I know what to do. I can write a 10-step on it. I can ask God to help me accept whether I'm shamed about it or whether I'm embarrassed about it. Ask God to help me to accept that I feel ashamed of it or I feel embarrassed. And once I accept it, then I ask God to remove it. And then it says in the big book, we focus on how we can help someone else. I get on the phone and I call somebody and I ask them, how are they doing? What a gift. Totally different than the way I lived my life before program. I am so lucky. This program has taught me so much. Women in program have taught me, for instance, if I bought something and I didn't like it or it was the wrong size, I would just bite the bullet and give it to Goodwill. And women lovingly said to me, Ron, you have a right to take it back and get what you want. I never knew that. I have learned so much from so many people. And the only thing I can do to pay back is by treating people in my life better than the way I used to. And this to me is a gift. Thank you very much.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. My goodness, I am humbled and blessed by your story. Thank you. Okay, as you share your experience and strength in OA, please also share your hope. Please confine your sharing to your experience with the disease of compulsive eating, the solution offered by OA, and your own recovery from the disease, rather than just the events of the day or week. If you are having difficulties, share how you use the program to deal with them. If you need to talk more about your difficulties and seek solutions, we suggest you speak to your sponsor and other OA members after the meeting. You are invited to share and feel free to pass. If you do not identify as someone who has a problem with food, we ask that you do not share. Feedback, crosstalk, and advice giving are discouraged here. Crosstalk during an OA meeting is giving advice to others who have already shared, speaking directly to another person rather than the group, and questioning and interrupting the person speaking at the time. Please keep your sharing. I think we could probably just do about 2 minutes. Please be mindful of the timer so that those who want to get a chance to share will, and we share until 7:29. Thank you. The floor is open.
This is Sean, compulsive overeater. Ron, thank you. Thank you so much. That's not the first time I've heard your story. And it's just as powerful to me. I needed that tonight. I really needed that tonight. I just wanted to say thank you.
Is anybody willing to be our spiritual timekeeper?
I can do that. This is Sophia, compulsive overeater.
So I'll jump in there. Ron, thank you so much. I was deeply touched by a lot of the points that you made tonight. And I love it because I could feel the experiences behind your words, not just empty words. And there's one part in the... one day I went to a meeting and the big book was being read, and I had not connected with the big book yet. And I knew that it was something special because so many people quoted it all the time. And then one day I walked in and the part that you quoted on 552 revealed its magic to me. I was so angry at somebody. It was the most anger that I've ever felt in my entire life. And when I read that, it opened something up, or when it was read at the meeting. And there was an exercise I used to do in my spiritual practice, and that was focusing on somebody's soul, you know, the light above their person, so their personality is not in the meditation, and connect that way. But when I read that about praying for them, that something opened up and I was able to have a shift. But what happened also was very similar to what you said, or what I heard tonight. And I started to feel like I was betraying myself, praying for somebody I'm angry at, because I was very good at, in my history, of putting my own feelings aside and not even knowing what they were. So I came up with my own method, and my sponsor has helped me with it, to put that person in some sort of corral. And so I know that, anyway, it's a whole long thing. But yes, this was the first time tonight that I heard somebody say that similar experience. So again, thank you. And thank you, everybody, for being here. Thank you for listening and holding this sacred space.
Hi, this is Bob, compulsive overeater, recreational sugar addict. I just wanted to thank Ron also. A, for inviting me to this meeting, but B, I'm one of the lucky ones that gets his readings every morning. And I mean, it's helped my program tremendously. I'm 9.5 years in OA, but it's helped my program tremendously, but it's really helped the 38 other people that I send it out to every morning. And the logic that comes out of Ron, I get occasionally with phone calls, but I get it every single day. And it's a reinforcement of what this program is all about. And the fact that it is a disease And without God and without a spiritual program, there is no program. And that I'm very blessed that he reached out to me a couple of years ago, and I was very lucky. And I call that a God shot, because he called me unsolicited and just reached out on an outreach call. And from that, we have a connection that has grown very strong. And as I said, the readings on a daily basis reinforce the program and make me realize what this is all about, and then service of helping others. And thank you. And I'm very happy that I came to this meeting tonight.
Thank you for sharing.
Hi, this is Ree, and I'm a compulsive overeater and food addict. Hi. Ron, thank you so much for your talk. It was inspiring. Are you still involved with AA? I mean, are you still connected with your AA sponsor?
My AA sponsor passed away.
Oh.
I have a current sponsor, but I go to a lot of AA meetings, even though I'm not an alcoholic, to support my OA program.
Now, do you still go to the meetings that you thought were, have they changed or have they improved?
They have changed, but we don't have morning meetings anymore. So I don't know whether that made a difference or not, but I hear a lot of recovery in OA meetings now, which I'm very grateful for.
Good. Okay. Well, I thank you once again for your talk tonight. Very interesting. Very good. Thank you.
My name is Rick. I'd like to share. Ron, thanks for the talk. Good talk. I would be a member of Ron's fan club. I get his email every day. And I find his story fascinating. He went to the Alcoholics Anonymous. It in my mind reaffirms to me that not everybody works the program exactly the same way. And in my mind, a very intelligent man. He took a path that worked. And he didn't just keep doing the same thing, which wasn't working. That's smart, smart man. And I would share, as a part of my program, I get a daily podcast from Dr. Bob's home group. And I listen to AA recovery stories. I listen to OA recovery stories as well. But I'm just as inspired hearing the story of somebody recovering from their alcoholism, for me, that's just as inspirational, same program. And I'm a huge fan of the book As Bill Sees It. I think it's a great daily devotional. And I would just say that by the grace of God and the 12-step program of Overeaters Anonymous, I haven't had an eating binge in over 5 years. And I consider one day without an eating binge to be a miracle. I'm very grateful for recovery. I pass.
Okay, we have time for 1 2-minute share and then 1 1-minute share. Thank you.
Can I ask a question as well? In the forgiveness, the 4-step forgiveness technique that you were talking about, what was the second one again? After you, like, you know, after you pray and want them to feel all the bad things that you felt, and then I just forgot the second one.
Second part is doing exactly what it says in the big book,
mm-hmm.
praying that the person gets everything good that you want for yourself, mm-hmm. winning the lottery, having a healthy relationship, having loving family, whatever it is.
Mm. Okay. All right, great, thanks.
Ron, do you only sponsor men?
Very good question. I do only sponsor men. Thank you for asking.
And are you taking more people or are you filled up right now?
Right now I'm filled up.
Okay. Well, I think unless somebody has a burning desire to jump in right now, if not, we will close. Ron, I can't thank you enough. Thank you, truly. And it was nice to talk with you on the telephone. And Sean, thank you, Sean. That was amazing that you suggested Ron. Okay, everybody. By following the 12 steps, attending meetings regularly, and using the OA tools, thousands have changed their lives. We offer hope and encouragement. To the newcomer, we suggest attending at least 6 different meetings before deciding if OA is for you. The opinions expressed here today are those of individual OA members and do not represent OA as a whole. Please remember our commitment to honor each other's anonymity. What you hear here, whom you see here, when you leave here, please let it stay here. Let us all reach out by telephone or email to newcomers, returning members, and each other. Together, we get better. After a moment of silence for those who are suffering in and out of the rooms, will those who wish to please join us in... Ron, do you have a prayer of your choice?
Actually, I don't. Any prayer you want. The Serenity Prayer, Step 3, whatever.
Okay. How about we just go with the we version of the Serenity Prayer again after a moment of silence. Thank you. Please, God, grant us the serenity to accept the things we can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Keep coming back if you work it and you're